John 3:16 and 17 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. I have with me today Pastor Andrew, Elder Andrew, Pastor Andrew. Andrew, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me again. I always feel like one of the weakest parts of my podcast is this interaction right here. I'm always shocked that you're going to introduce me and have me speak at the very beginning.
Shocking.
What's going on?
Listen, I just want, Andrew, I want you to know, the next time I have you in on the podcast, I'm preparing you now. I will introduce you.
I think you should throw a curveball and just be like, oh, no one's here. Oh, wait, there's a question answerer.
I'll pretend you're not here until I have a question. Well, regardless, we're glad you're here. And we're talking right now about missions. That's our quarterly focus until the end of the year. And we've been talking just on the podcast about motivations for missions. And so far, all the motivations have been mainly Godward motivations. And if you've listened to the podcast, you know part of the reason for that is because that's the way the Bible presents a motivation for missions to us. But I don't want to neglect this last motivation for missions. It's maybe the first one we think about today, but and it is in Scripture. It is in Scripture, and it is incredibly important, even if it's not the main note struck in Scripture. And the motivation we are talking about today, I've titled A Burden for the Nations. We are now moving from a Godward focus, now horizontally, a focus on those who are actually perishing, the nations who need to hear the gospel, and how that should compel us to be involved in missions. Just to begin, I know I said we're moving from a Godward focus, but that's never really true, hopefully. So I actually do want to start with God himself, because he is the one who forces us out of ourselves toward others, even when we're looking horizontally. Really, we are, when we talk of a burden for the nations motivating missions, we are simply imitating God. I think that's obvious in that John 3 passage that everyone knows. The motivation for missions, one motivation for missions in God is God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that people would believe in him and not perish. And then verse 17, just clarifying that, God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. He sent his Son to save the world, meaning all the elect, all his people within the whole world. And so there you have God's love being a motivating factor in God desiring to reach the lost everywhere in the world. And we want to imitate that. Just another picture of God's heart appears in Ezekiel 18:23. "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live?" Meaning, God has pleasure in someone turning from his evil way and living, and that is true universally for all peoples. Hence, part of our motivation for reaching people is we're sharing God's heart. When we look at anyone in the world, we do not want anyone to go to hell. And God, according to his revealed will, does not want anyone to go to hell. And so we have that desire, and that motivates us going with the gospel, because people have to hear the gospel to escape God's wrath. I will say, God does certainly feel a righteous wrath. The Psalms say he suffers indignation every day. He feels a righteous wrath against sinners and against sin. But at the same time, when he looks on the nations, he feels not only a wrath for sin, but he also feels, according to John 3:16, he also has a genuine love, even for those who are rejecting him, even for unbelievers. He has a genuine, real love for them. D.A. Carson wrote a little book called The Difficult Doctrine of the Love of God, because God at the same time can feel wrath toward the nations in their sin, and also benevolence or love toward them. And it's that love or benevolence that God feels that we are to imitate. He sends rain on the good and the bad, and therefore we love good and bad alike, and we want everyone to be blessed, especially with salvation. So that's main point here. We are motivated to do missions because we feel a compassion for the perishing among all nations. because God does, and we are imitating him. Now, if you could expand on that a little bit for us, Andrew, it would be awesome. I mean, my question for you is, how should God's heart for the nations really shape our hearts for them?
So a couple of the last things that Christ said before ascending. For, he gave us first the Great Commission, so go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We see that in Mark 16, verse 15, but then if you continue on with that, it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. So there's that understanding that, you know, we're told that we're supposed to be going out into all the world, preach the gospel. The way that these people are saved, that will be saved eventually, is through the hearing of the word. So that's like the whole idea of missions. However, whenever you continue on, you read in Acts 1, again, another view of the ascension. Christ says in Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what we see there is Christ basically saying, you're going to be these ones that are listening to him at the ascension. You're going to start this church. You're going to start my church. And what's going to happen is it's going to start here in Jerusalem, because they were in Jerusalem at the time. Then eventually it's going to go to Samaria. Then it's going to go to Judea. And then it's going to go to the ends of the earth. And if we stop just right there in, you know, 1:8, then it looks like all of us should not be in Faith Bible Church right now or in Evansville, Indiana. We should be going out, every single one of us. But what we see through just church history, through the history of Acts that we read, is that eventually they start this church in Jerusalem. Goes great. Thousands are coming to Christ. But then persecution comes, and it pushes them out. And that's the catalyst that God uses to push them out to Samaria, to Judea. Again, once there's established churches in Judea, more persecution comes, and it pushes them even further out. It doesn't kill the church. It's God's plan to continually drive people out to spread the gospel. But what we see is that it doesn't die in Jerusalem. It doesn't die in Samaria. It doesn't die in Judea. What happens is these churches stay in these areas. We'll even see Paul, through Acts, continually coming back to the church in Jerusalem after the persecution's already happened. They've been pushed out. And so there needs to be a heart for the lost people outside of our churches, outside of our cities, outside of our nations, because that's what God's called us to. That's the example that God has given us in Acts. That's why we have that example in Acts.
And when Jesus says that to the original 12, then 11, and he says they have to go to the ends of the earth to be witnesses, they did not live long enough to do that. So clearly there's an extension through them to us that we are carrying on that same project. And if we just think ends of the earth, I mean, for them it was centered on the eastern part of the Mediterranean, and it just kind of radiated out. Now, we're part of where it's reached, radiating out across the ocean.
We are the ends of the earth in their mind.
I mean, really, we are far away across the ocean. But what's interesting now is, today, we talk about unreached people groups. And an unreached people group, we typically define, sometimes people will define it as 2% or less of that people group is Christian. That's a little bit arbitrary. I mean, unreached, really, the idea of unreached is, this is a people group where if you are born and you live in that people group, almost certainly you will not hear the gospel. Or if you do, it will only be by someone not in your people group, like a missionary. So you don't have enough Christians who are faithful in the people group to share with one another. And so there you have people who just are not going to hear the gospel, almost certainly. And so when we talk about burden for the nation, we're thinking, and that, if we define it that way, they estimate that of the 8 billion people on earth, it's like 3.4 billion. So not quite half, but a little less than half of everyone in the world, it is very likely, will never even hear the gospel. No one will ever speak to them the gospel. And 85% of unreached people groups, interestingly, we're way west of Jerusalem. They're to the east and north and east. So there's a swath. It's 10 degrees north. Latitude. Is latitude up and down, or is it longitude?
Yes.
Okay, you who are listening, maybe you're smarter than us, and you know, but 10 degrees north, I think it's latitude, and 40 degrees north. And if you just start on the western northwest side of Africa and just go straight to the east across Asia, there's a box there. We call it the 1040 window. 85% of these 3.4 billion unreached people groups, 85% are right there. And so if we have a burden for people who, they're not even going to hear the gospel. But interestingly, of all the missionaries that are sent out in the world, only 3% go there. Because there's a reason they're unreached. It's dangerous. It's very difficult. And so that to the ends of the earth, we're still doing that. And for us, a lot of that to the ends of the earth is the 1040 window. It's these unreached people groups who just, there are several million who are even we would call unengaged unreached, meaning as far as we know, nobody's ever gone to them and shared the gospel. There's nobody's taken that responsibility.
Which should burden us, because often whenever we get to those places, what you'll find is, you know, kids running around in a Coca-Cola t-shirt, yeah, or having some kind of technology. So what that should tell us as a church is that the marketing team of Coca-Cola or Apple has a more burning heart to get their product to them than we as believers have to get the gospel into their hearts.
Yeah. So that's definitely what we're wanting to see changed, is if Coca-Cola can have that much of a passion for the bottom line, we want to have a passion for the nations. I will say, you know, you and I are in busier seasons of life. Everybody's kind of busy, but, and I do find that a challenge here is, it's good we have the quarterly focus to stop and think about this. It's really easy in the busyness of life just to forget, because you don't see the unreached people groups. They're far away. It's easy to just forget about this. So do you have any counsel for us? How do we stir up and keep stirred up in our hearts about the nations in the midst of our busy lives?
I think one of the big ways that we can do it is just to be continually in prayer. A lot of us, whenever we hear of a crisis happening in, you know, the church, or if one of our kids are sick, or whenever it's really close to home, we have that burning desire and passion to be praying for whatever the situation is. A lot of us go through the directory for the church and we get to the missionaries, or some, I know, will pray for certain sections of the directory, but they'll also pray for the missionary every single time. We can tack on, you know, missionaries that we don't even know the name of, or areas of the world that we haven't been to or that are burdening us at that moment. So just having that continual time of prayer is a continual reminder of what God has called us to do as a church.
I love that you put the focus there on, I mean, we would be glad for anyone to be involved in any missions, but since we're all very limited in our capacity, as a local church, we voted on the missionaries we support, and to put a priority then, and that makes it, I think we have, if you include husbands and wives, something like 25 missionaries. Okay. So all the missionaries and all the unreached people groups in the world, that's overwhelming. But 25 missionaries, if you do what you said, go in the directory, listen on Sunday morning to the updates. Out in our foyer, the missions committee does a fantastic job, led by Dan Gilock, putting together, I think every month, a paper that has updated prayer requests for our missionaries. It's right out there. You can grab it. And just starting small that way. That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much again, Andrew, for being on here and helping us.
Thank you.
For those of you who are listening, maybe it is such a busy season of your life and you've not thought about missions almost at all. You may never even have heard of the 1040 window or unreached people groups, and maybe you feel a great burden for certain anxieties, pressing needs that you have, but you've not felt any kind of a burden for those who are perishing without the gospel in the neediest, gospel neediest parts of the world. Whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.